Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. My name is Lisa Woodruff, and I'm a professional organizer and blogger in Cincinnati, Ohio. I want to help you get your home organized and help you organize life stages and unexpected events. So sit back, relax, and let's get organized. This is the fifth podcast in my series of organizing your bedroom for girls from age 8 to 18. So today I'm speaking to the girls and the young ladies who are between the ages of 16 and 23 or 25. And this really is your transition time from your childhood bedroom into your own place of residence. Now, this happens at a different age for everyone. The most common earliest age you would leave your childhood bedroom would be at the age of 18 or 19. And for the majority of people, that will be when you go to attend a community college, or you go to a traditional four-year college, or maybe you move in with a couple of your high school friends and you all get a job and you've left your family home. Now, when I was 18, the majority of my friends went to a four-year college and we left home at 18, and I really never lived at home again after I started college. So when I was 18, I went to college and I lived in a dorm room, and I came home the first summer and I stayed in my childhood bedroom, and then I went back to college the next year. But every summer after that, I took summer school classes, and two of those years I stayed at the college, so I actually lived year-round at the college. I just would change where I lived. So I didn't really come home and live in my childhood home again much after the age of 18. When I graduated from college, I actually got a job 2 months later in the same city where I went to college. So I went to Miami University in Oxford, and I got a job in Cincinnati, Ohio. But I was from the Akron area up by Cleveland, Ohio, was where I was born and raised and where my childhood home was. So when I graduated from college, I stayed at college for an extra 4 weeks to take a couple more classes to get an additional teacher certification so I could teach kindergarten. And I moved back to my childhood home probably the first week in July, maybe. And I had interviewed for 38 jobs in Cincinnati and one in Cleveland. Guess where my boyfriend lived? So I was home for maybe 2 or 3 weeks when I got the call that I was hired for a job in Cincinnati. And at that time, I rented a U-Haul truck, packed up everything I had, and I moved to an apartment in Cincinnati. 6 months later, my boyfriend proposed, and 6 months after that, we were married. So 1 year after I went to college, I was married to my husband, and I moved into his apartment. We lived in that apartment or condo for 1 year, and then we moved into the home that we've now lived in for the last 20 years. At the time that I moved into the home that we currently live in, I was 24 or 25 years old. And what I have noticed for the majority of people is the transition from one stage of life to the next takes anywhere from 3, 5, 7 years. For me, it was a transition for 7 years between when I was 18 until I was 24, 25 and living in the home that I currently live in. That was the transition from living in my childhood bedroom to owning my own home. And along the way there, I lived in dorm rooms, my own apartment, my husband's apartment, and then we moved into this house that we picked together. This 7-year transition, if you look at it, if I look at it backwards, was a time that was very frustrating to me because my things were in different locations. So even though I wasn't living in my childhood home when I was at college or even when I had my first apartment, there was some of my stuff that remained at my parents' home. So all of my childhood memorabilia, a lot of my furniture, pictures, all of those things were still at my childhood home, even though I was living at college or in my first apartment. There just wasn't enough room in my new space for all of that memorabilia and those things that I wanted to save. So once I was 24 or 25, I think I was 25 when we bought this house and we moved in, I was so excited to have all of my earthly possessions in one place again. Like, We went to my husband's parents' house and got his memorabilia. We went to my parents' house and we got my memorabilia and any furniture that we'd been saving, and we moved it into our home. And when we moved into this home was when we were in our own space with all of our own stuff. Now, I think it's pretty typical for most young ladies to have their possessions in multiple locations until they get their first home or carriage house or buy their first condo or something like that, where they know they have a job, married, unmarried, that doesn't matter, but you know you have a job and you've kind of started your adult life officially. I felt that when we got our home, I had officially started our adult life because I had all of my stuff together. Another thing I want to talk about is when you were a child and when you were organizing your childhood bedroom, sometimes you did that of your own volition, and sometimes you did it because your mother or father were saying, hey, you're not allowed to go out until your room is organized, or we're no longer going to do XYZ until you get this room in order. And so it wasn't always your choice to organize your room. Sometimes somebody else was saying you had to organize your room. And over the last four podcasts, I kind of have taught you the basics of organizing your room, creating a work-study area in your room. We talked about toys, hobbies, a little bit about memorabilia, and then clothing. And part of why I broke those podcasts up into separate areas is because now, as you move into a dorm room, really smaller than your bedroom usually, but as you move into an apartment, or my very first apartment was a loft, so it had a living room, dining room all together, a really tiny kitchen, and then you walked up some stairs and there was like this little loft bed. So it was probably three times the size of my childhood bedroom, but it wasn't gigantic, right? And then when I moved into the condo that my boyfriend and then husband owned, that was a two-bedroom condo. So it was probably twice the size of my loft and probably six times the size of my childhood bedroom. Now we had a master bedroom and the other bedroom we used as an office. We had an official dining room, a living room, a bigger kitchen, our own laundry area, a front hall closet, and two full bathrooms and two walk-in closets. So that was a lot more space. And we had a storage area, a small storage closet. As I moved from a childhood bedroom into a dorm room, then into a loft apartment, then into my husband's condo, and then we bought our current house, each time the space we had was larger. And so it was really fun to play house and use the furniture that we'd taken from our own childhood homes. They'd go out and buy new furniture together, decorate. I did a lot of painting and wallpapering and, just making that space my own. And when we moved into this house and we moved all these memories here, we had a lot of storage space where we could store those things. So equipping your house is part of this transition, moving from your parents' house into your own and kind of deciding what your style is. Another thing you'll notice as you move from your childhood bedroom into these larger dwellings, as you keep moving through these larger dwellings and prepare to have your family, is there are a lot of community items in your parents' home that were not actually your items that you now need. I remember not so much when I lived in my apartment or my husband's condo, but once we moved to our house, we realized, oh my gosh, there are so many things that our parents just had in their house that I didn't really think about the fact that when you own the house, you have to buy them, like a lawnmower and just even a shovel to plant a flower. Like we had to go out and every time we wanted to do anything at our house, screw something or nail a nail into the wall, we had to go buy the screws and the nails and the hammer and the screwdriver and every time we tried to do anything, we had to go to the store and buy stuff. I felt like the first 2 years we lived in this house, all we did was go down to Lowe's and buy more things for our house. So it's a very exciting and it's very expensive time of your life. As I taught you to organize your bedroom, I taught you to do it in multiple stages because I knew that as you move into an apartment and possibly a condo and then a house, all those different areas that you organized in your bedroom will now become whole rooms. So you'll have your bedroom, that will stay the same. You'll have a way to organize your clothing, that will stay the same. Probably the closet will be bigger. But then you'll actually have a place where you will do your household work or the work that you're being employed to do. It might be a home office, it might be a desk in the kitchen, but you'll need to set up a place that you could do work. You'll be able to expand where you keep your hobbies. So I like to do jigsaw puzzles, so I would do those on the dining room table. And I like to scrapbook, so I set that up in the basement that we had. And I like to do painting and crafts, and so I set up those areas in our house. They didn't have to be in a little cubicle in your bedroom anymore. And then you'll have the opportunity to store your own memories in your house, which is the last thing that I want to talk to you about today. But the other thing that I told you from podcast number one, and you might want to go back and listen to podcast number one now that you're dreaming about having that house one day, you'll see how this relates, is if you organize your bedroom by, number one, going through and taking out all the trash, and then number two, getting rid of any food items, and then number three, going ahead and doing your clothing and your laundry, you'll notice that's how you organize your house as well. And you'll need to do this at least every week. So Saturday morning is the time that I arbitrarily set up for you. And that may be the time that you decide to clean and organize your house. But if you miss a Saturday and you wait 2 weeks, it's going to be much more difficult to keep your house clean and organized than it would be if you just did it every single week. So on Saturday morning, you get up, walk through the whole house, all the different spaces that you have in this dwelling of yours, and collect all the trash first and take that outside. That's what I usually do. Then I walk through the whole house, all the rooms, and I collect any food, any dishes, any of those things, and I take them down to the kitchen. That's when I do the dishes and start the dishwasher. Third thing I do is I walk through the whole entire house and I find any clothing in hampers, towels that have been hanging up that need to be washed now, or clothing that's been left on the floor, maybe by you or someone else you live with. Collect all of that clothing and get the laundry started first thing Saturday morning. So you have your dishwasher started, you have your washing machine started, and now you can go ahead and go back and do a little bit more of the smaller organizing and cleaning tasks that need to be done every week. By the time you get done maybe picking up and straightening up your bedroom, maybe you change your sheets every week, make the bed, get everything all organized in your bedroom, it'll be time to change the washing machine into the dryer and start your second load of laundry. Then you might go in and clean, you know, your regular bathroom and your master bathroom, get that all cleaned up, put all of your makeup and hair stuff away, make a grocery list if you need to go to the grocery, and then go ahead and change the laundry again and empty the dishwasher before you head down to clean the kitchen and those other areas in your house. It'll take you longer to clean and organize your house than it did to do your bedroom, but you'll be in the habit. So on average, I think it takes my kids usually an hour, maybe an hour and a half to clean their bedroom every week. And I would say, on average, before I had children, I could get my whole house cleaned in about 2 to 3 hours. Once I had children, that time got bigger. But that's when you go into the other podcasts I have that are for people that are about 25 to 40, and they have a house with growing children and growing demands on their time. And that's what I call the accumulation phase. But if you stick with this, if you stick with what you learned in the How to Organize Your Bedroom podcast, and you pull that into how you keep your dorm room organized, and then how you keep your apartment organized, and you keep tweaking those systems as the dwelling that you live in gets bigger, it won't get out of control for you, and you'll be able to maintain the growth of yourself personally as you become a more mature woman. And as your household grows and your responsibilities grow, you'll just have to add half an hour to an hour to organizing your house. Now, your mother, to organize your house, to organize and clean your house each week, I would estimate, if she were to start on Saturday morning and get done everything that needs to be done in that house in one time block and not break it up during the week, I would estimate it would take her 5 to 8 hours. And the reason why is because you live there. So obviously it's not just her, right? So usually, I'll just take the average household in America would be a mom, a dad, and two kids. So let's just say 4 people live in the house, probably a cat or a dog too. I would say most Americans have some kind of a pet. So the reason why it takes 5 to 8 hours is because you have to do all the laundry, right, for the week. You have to clean all of the bathrooms, because bathrooms need to be cleaned every single week. You need to at least make the beds, run the vacuum cleaner, clean the kitchen floor. You really need to deep clean your kitchen each week, do all the dishes, run the dishes, put those away. And what happens is, when those are all cleaning tasks, not organizing tasks. And before you can do the cleaning, you have to pick up the house. So you have to go through the house and collect all the trash and the dishes and the clothes and anything else that's been left out all week long. This is why mom looks like her head is going to explode when you put down a drink from a fast food restaurant on a coffee table in the family room. The reason why she looks like her head is going to explode is because she knows it's going to take her 8 hours to clean and organize the house each week. And if you would start to pick up some of those things, maybe it would only take her 7. So slowly, over time, your responsibilities in your house are going to grow as you start to own more of the house. You know that earlier in the podcast, I wanted you to think about you owning your bedroom, that it's your own apartment, it's your own space, your space to, you know, put the clothes that you want to keep and organize it the way you want to organize it. And even talking to your mom and dad about being able to decorate it the way you want to decorate it, if that's okay with them. Because it really is the first time that you're learning how to maintain a space and starting to get an idea of what you want as you become a young lady. And you will see that the more you take ownership of your bedroom and really think through the things that I'm telling you today, the easier it's going to be when you get your own house, and the more empowered you will feel to actually take care of that house when you get it. Because if you're taking care of your bedroom, your mom's not coming in and organizing that, right? Well, let me let you in on a little secret that's a real bummer to find out, but there is no magical little fairy that's going to come into your first apartment and clean and organize that either. Secretly, I think my daughter is thinking that I am the fairy that's going to come to her apartment someday, but let me just tell you, it's not going to happen. I mean, maybe I will once or twice a year. But on a regular basis, day in and day out, your bedroom and then your apartment and then your house are your responsibility. Now, the last thing I want to talk to you about, because if you're like me, like, I can only imagine being a 16-year-old listening to this podcast. Oh my gosh, if this podcast existed when I was 16, I would just play it over and over and over again, because I was so excited at 16 to have my own apartment one day and get married and have my own house. And I would probably be planning a list of, like, oh, I didn't know that I needed a screwdriver and hammer and screws and nails. And I would start making a list of all the things we needed when we had a house one day, because that's just the kind of kid I am. So I would be super excited. So the last thing I want to talk to you about today before we end this podcast is, I want you to really think about all of the things that you are saving at your parents' house. The things that you have in your attic, in the basement, in the garage, anything that's actually yours. Not the things that are your parents or your brothers or sisters, just the things that are yours. And specifically, I'm talking about your school work, your artwork that you've done over the years at school, the trophies that you've earned in any sporting that you've done, or medals you've gotten from school, pictures that have been taken of you that are yours, old toys that you have that are yours, some of your t-shirts, like if you were in camps or sporting events or Girl Scouts or Boy Scouts and you have those old uniforms, all those things are yours, okay? And when you're a mom and you have kids, you love to save the stuff that the kids did, because of course they're your moms and they love you to bits. Like, they just love you so much and they love everything that you make and everything that you do, and they love being your mom. Like, they really, really love being your mom. And every time they see your old favorite toys or some of the artwork that you used to do, it just reminds them of when you do it. Like, you maybe don't remember creating that piece of art, but your mom does. She remembers when you brought it home from school. It's very meaningful for her. So what I find happening is, I come into houses when you are going to be like 40 and your mom's going to be like 65 years old. And I come across the artwork that you did when you were 5 years old. only you're a lot older, you know, like you're older than your mom is today when I find your artwork in her basement. And what I want to ask you is, how much of your childhood memories do you want to keep? And here's the thing, you can keep them all. Like you say, oh, that's so cool that I have all this stuff. I want to keep it all. That's totally fine. Or you might be listening to this and you might be 18, 19, 20, and you might say, I don't want to keep any of it. And I would say, well, maybe. I think you should at least keep some of it. Like, don't get rid of everything. But I can understand only wanting to keep, you know, a couple of favorite t-shirts or a couple of favorite pieces of artwork or a couple of your trophies, or maybe taking pictures of all of your trophies and then letting the trophies go. But I just kind of want to plant a seed in your mind, and I want you to really think about, without going in the storage room or the basement or the attic, what are you saving there? Like, do you know that all of your American Girl doll stuff is stored in there and you want to have that one day for your little girl? That's totally cool. Or do you know that your mom packed up all of the play kitchen stuff that you played with when you were a little kid and you want your kids to play with that when you come over to your mom's and you have little kids? That's totally cool too. Go ahead and keep all of that stuff. But if you have no idea what's down there and you really don't want any of it, I want you to tell your mom that so that she doesn't hold on to stuff that she thinks you want, but you really don't want it. So here's what I would love for you to do. If you are in high school, I would love for you to spend the day with your mom. Maybe for Mother's Day would be a good Mother's Day gift. It's a long time from now if you're listening to this when I'm recording it, but you'll hear it in the future too. But for Mother's Day, or just find a day and say to your mom, hey mom, let's go through those boxes you have of my stuff from when I'm a child in the basement. This will do two things. Number one, you're going to get to go through that stuff from your childhood with your mom, which is going to be super meaningful for you and for her. Like, you guys will laugh, you'll cry, you'll hold up funny things that you did as a kid, or you might run across memories that you forgot that you had. You'll have a great time going through all of it. It'll be a really, really memorable, fun day. Secondly, you may find that there is a lot of stuff down there that you didn't know that mom saved and really is not very meaningful to you. Like, let's say she saved Mr. Potato Head and you always thought he was creepy, but she thought it was really fun. And you can say, mom, I always thought Mr. Potato Head was really creepy. And then you guys can donate that to Goodwill. Or, like, for example, my daughter had Cabbage Patch dolls, which as a kid, parents would line up and stay in line overnight to buy a Cabbage Patch doll, and my parents didn't do it. And I was mad because I didn't get a Cabbage Patch doll because my parents wouldn't stand in line forever and pay $200 for a doll when I was a kid. So when my daughter was little and Cabbage Patch dolls came back out, I bought her one. Well, guess what? She thinks they're creepy. That's why she always kept it in the closet with the door shut, and I was saving it in the basement. And then I found out she thought it was creepy and it scared her and gave her nightmares. So we gave it away. You know, your mom doesn't know what you think about these toys. She doesn't know that, oh my gosh, the trip to American Girl Doll and getting all those American Girl dolls was awesome and you totally want to share that with your future daughter someday. But the Cabbage Patch doll and the Potato Head, they're creepy and they creeped you out, and that's why you kept them in the closet, because they scared you at night. Your mom's keeping it all because she thinks you love it all. So if you guys can laugh and have a great day and say, no, mom, it's okay if we get rid of some of this stuff and only save some of it. Number one, that'll be great. Number two, you'll be helping her organize the storage room. And number three, she doesn't know everything you think about this stuff in the basement. So maybe she would get rid of Mr. Potato Head and that was your favorite childhood memory. So you need to let her know what you love. And then you need to make this decision for her. You need to decide if you want to keep it for you or if you want to keep it at her house. You see what I'm saying? So like, let's say you have an American Girl doll collection and you want to keep that and you want it to come to your house when you have a child someday. So like me, when I was 25 and I got my house, that American Girl doll collection would have come to my house. It would not have stayed in my mom's house. But if, let's say, my mom kept our play kitchen and all the food that went along with it, then you might say, yeah, that was okay, but I don't want it at my house. Then your mom could say, well, I really like it and I want to keep it here for when you guys have kids in your house. Now, for some of you that are not like me and this whole idea of having children one day is creeping you out, I understand that too. You may not want to have your childhood toys for your kids, and that's a long way away. I mean, if you're listening to this when you're 16, you might not have kids till you're 26 or 36. I mean, that's 10 or 20 years from now. You might not want to keep toys around that long for your kids, but I want you to have the conversation with your mom and talk to her about it. Like, do you or don't you? And at least have the conversation. So 5, 10, 15 years from now, when she runs across Mr. Potato Head and you're 30 years old, you could say, yeah, go ahead, please get rid of Mr. Potato Head. Or you could say, oh, no, I'm ready. Please send Mr. Potato Head over to my house, please, and I'll put it in my storage room. Now, if you are a parent listening to this podcast, as I know many of you are, and let's say you are a child like me and you're 44, the same applies to you, little girl. If your mom is still living in your family home and your childhood toys are still in her storage room, you need to spend a day with your mom. And you need to go over and say, Mom, I already have my kids. I actually am going to have grandkids soon, and we're done with Mr. Potato Head or whatever it is. Give her permission to give those things away. Or if they're really super important to you, as soon as you have a house that's big enough and you have your own storage, it's important that you go get your own memories and storage out of your parents' house and bring it into your house so that they can clean and organize and declutter their home. Because eventually the moms become grandparents, and grandparents like to get smaller houses so that they can leave them and go on vacation to Florida, if you know what I mean. I hope this 5-week series about organizing your bedroom has really, really helped. And like I said, if I was a kid and I could have heard this kind of a podcast growing up, oh my gosh, it would have been amazing. So all of you little girls out there who love to organize, remember to ask everyone you babysit for if you can organize from them. And I'm sure they will say yes. And remember that someday you might become a future professional organizer. You guys have a great week.